We live in a fantasy world now. Reality has been destroyed.
This is the time that we really need to pay attention.
The probabilities are overwhelmingly on gold's side.
That is the best environment to see gold increase its value.
Welcome to Palisades Gold Radio. I'm your host, Tom Bodrovics. Joining me today is Michael Moore, founder of MooreAnalytics.com. How are you today, Michael?
Doing great, Tom. Thanks for having me on. I appreciate it.
Great to have you join us. Of course, you're not the filmmaker, as I'm sure most of our audience will definitely notice, but you were kind of referred to me from Vince Lancey. He relies on your technical work really heavily. And of course, it's taken me a little while to track you down, but looking forward to this chat.
Thank you. Me too.
So, Mike, your site says that this is not a newsletter or simple market commentary. These are specific, actionable trades delivered prior to their election. So how did you go about building your style and skill set that contribute to your calls?
Well, that was built right on the floor of the New York Mercantile Exchange. For those of you who don't know, the New York Mercantile Exchange is where they trade energies and is housed in the same building where the COMEX is, where they trade gold and silver, coffee, sugar, cocoa. So I'd worked amongst the pits for 15 years and started my business really at the request of a natural gas futures trader and a natural gas and crude oil options trader, because I had learned how to chart the markets and make large predictions. And they finally just said one day, write this down on a piece of paper and we'll pay you for it. So that started the analysis business, and it really grew. It was a blessing. It grew to be, when the floor was at its peak at around 800 and some odd traders, I had about a fourth of the NYMEX membership as my clientele. And but at the beginning, it was really meant for traders that were in the pits that were trading short term. And then it blossomed also into much larger trades that a lot of the options traders were interested in, because they could hold those positions a little bit easier than futures traders. Mm-hmm. And then that eventually I moved the business off the trading floor as the electronic trading came in and the trading floor started to atrophy. And I also picked up gold, Bitcoin, and the S&P 500 futures index.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, did it start by making trades and then you kind of moved into, would it be fair to say, being able to make more hedging calls for some of your clients as well?
A bit both. I mean, down on the trading floor, there's plenty of directional traders and plenty of hedgers as well. As long as you're making a call in the right direction, they can use that to hedge. Mm-hmm. Or they can use that just to outright make money, especially with spreads and backward dated spreads. There's all kinds of ways that people use the numbers. I mean, I have clients that are proprietary traders, industry companies, hedge funds. So they're using it on all different time frames and in all different ways. I have some guys that trade just the unleaded gasoline and other guys that trade everything. So,
So what helps contribute to you basically making these calls? Do you take any fundamentals into account, or is it just technicals?
It's purely technical. I take no fundamentals into account. That being said, the fundamentals are the basic underpinnings of what drives the market, as well as news-based events, which are fundamental in themselves. But the technicals will get you in on those events and those moves 80 to 90% of the time sooner than the fundamentals will paint the picture that you should be in on the move. And they will get you out of that move 80 to 90% of the time sooner than the fundamentals will. Mm-hmm. And that's because the basic premise is that the current price of the market is a reflection of the sum total of the knowledge of all the people trading the market at that moment. So even if you're a trader on the desk at Mobil or Trafigura or whatever, it's hard to have all those fundamentals come right together and paint that picture for you for a directional move, unless they're talking about just hedging cargoes or
so what. I think an interesting example of this we were kind of chatting before we hit record here today, was the call you made in the spring of 2020 when oil actually went negative. So, you know, the fundamentals in some ways kind of drove that, but how, if you could share with us how you actually saw that develop kind of before that, the fundamental picture came into view.
Right. So there was, would you like me to see a screen document of that?
Sure. That'd be great.
Okay. These were calls I made for a couple oil companies and banks in early 2020. That's why I have this actually as a visual representation, because they had requested that I put it together.
Mike, if you could just maximize that, please. Perfect.
So you can see up top, I said I was bullish from 56.28 for $8.44 coming into January 6, 2020. And then when we broke below $60.98, I said this warns of heavy pressure down to $51, which is basically a $10 move, which doesn't seem like now according to the volatility of the market now, but it was a substantial call based on where the market cap was then. And then there's various calls to the downside. Then here I hedged because I had a key area right here that said it would bounce hard, rallied for a number of days, and then right here turned bearish again. And these are all based off of technicals that I use, some on this time frame, some on lower time frames that you don't see here. But this would be a good example right in here. This was on a Friday. So before the market opened and made this move here, I'd sent out my analysis as of the close right up in here. And I said $1.50 break below 43.32. We'll project this downward, $23 minimum, $35 plus maximum. Now, I happened to have posted that, I think, on LinkedIn or Kitco or something like that, and got a lot of grief. You know, people saying, oh, you know, the market's already come off and lost a third of its market cap. There's no way it's going down to $8 a barrel. But that's what the technicals presented themselves to me. Mm-hmm. And it came off $4.30 that day and went out on the lows on a Friday, and then had the largest gap open lower in history into Sunday night, which is over $10 a barrel. And mm-hmm. then, of course, that's when they say, oh, well, the reason was because, you know, Russia and OPEC couldn't agree on their output cuts, and they decided to flood the market with oil anyway. Which at that point, the news doesn't help you because you're already down $10. But I stayed bearish all the way down. And then some of you know the picture. It actually went to negative $40 a barrel, mm-hmm. which frankly, a lot of us didn't even know was possible, even veteran people that have been in the markets for 30 years. But there was never a point on the way down that I ever said, this is too oversold. It can't go any lower. Mm-hmm. That's not even something that's in my vocabulary, because I know that markets can stay irrational far longer than you can stay liquid. Mm-hmm. So if it's moving in a direction, I'm going with it. But also there's some other important, well, we'll get into that when we talk to the energies a little bit. Well, I might as well, since we're on here, but there's some other important aspects of the energies that people don't realize. You know, some people say, well, I trade gold and I trade crude oil and I trade the S&Ps because they're uncorrelated and they're all liquid. But they never think to say, well, maybe I should look at the unleaded gasoline or I should look at the heating oil. Mm-hmm. And that's fine. You can make money just trading the crude, but the heating oil and the unleaded gasoline lead the direction of crude oil 85 to 90% of the time. Mm-hmm. So you think that's a good leading indicator? You betcha. So how do you harness that for your profitability? Mm-hmm. Well, if you understand the differences in the spreads between the products and the crude, or the products and the products, then you can determine which is likely going to lead the move. So for example, on the bottom here, I left this little paragraph. It says, I was bearish the spread between the unleaded gasoline and the crude oil from the top. And that came off almost $25 in this time frame. So what does that all mean to you? That basically means that up at $61, you had a choice where you could have shorted the crude oil or you could have shorted the unleaded gasoline. They're both highly correlated. But since looking at this spread said that the gasoline should come off harder than the crude oil, if you had shorted that instead of the crude, if you shorted the crude, you would have made $40,000 a contract when it moved from 60 to 20. Mm-hmm. If you had shorted the unleaded gasoline instead of the crude, you would have made $65,000 a contract. That's the power of understanding which one of these you should be short or which one of these you should be long at any given time. It's a hugely powerful dynamic that can enormously enhance your profitability as you trade throughout the year, being on whatever market is leading out of the three of those to the upside or leading out of the three of those to the downside. Mm-hmm. And it can enormously help your hedging, right? If you want to hedge with something, instead of just hedging a product with itself in the other direction, you could also hedge with a highly correlated product in the other direction and make a far more money off of your hedge.
Mm-hmm. So Mike, when you're thinking about, let's say, trying to find that leading indicator, is it typically the gasoline or the, you know, is it one or the other that leads that typically, or is it just a technical setup that you see that gives you that indication versus crude?
So it's a combination. I look at three spreads. I look at the unleaded gas to heat to crude oil spread. I look at the heating oil to crude oil spread, and I look at the unleaded to heating oil spread. And based off of the three of those, I can determine which is going to be the strong horse or which is going to be the weak one out of the gate. So, for example, you know, if you look at heating oil here, I said the maintained gap higher on 920 left a minor bullish reversal below, and it went on here. So that with this bullish reversal below here, just in a matter of 2 weeks, has made a difference of $20,000 per contract. Mm-hmm. Or this one right here, even 20,000 also. And then we left a large bullish reversal down in here, which is also suggestive this is higher. So what does that mean? Since it's a spread between the product, which is the heating oil, and the crude oil, and it's bullish, that means that it says that the heating oil should go up harder than the crude oil, which means if the markets are going to rally, which one do you want to be long? You want to be long the heating oil. Mm-hmm. At the same token, if you look at the spread between the products, I said right up in here that if it fell back down through this high, it would start a bearish correction. And just in a matter of under 10 days, you can see that financial difference right there is 18 grand. Mm-hmm. So that's the difference between, so what is it, how does this help us? Okay, so let me back up. If you go to the heating oil, all of these were bearish, the crude oil, the heat, and the unleaded gasoline, they were all bearish down in here in the structure. And I said that down in here, this may be the last stretch of this structure before we start a new bull correction or bullish trend. And if we got back up above 309.25, that we should see a correction exceeding 33 cents in the heating oil. And for those of you who don't understand how that equates, 33 cents is like the equivalent of like a $15 crude move. And you can see here from the 27th in the morning, or let's just go from the low, okay? The difference here is $36,000 a contract if you were long, or if you're talking about the break above 309.30, let's just say $33,000 a contract. Whereas if it was the crude oil at that same time, you only made $10,890 a contract. So that, and you're talking in about in six trading days. That's a massive difference.
Almost 3x, yeah.
So for somebody to be too lazy to say, oh, well, you know, the heating oil and the RBOB, they're not as liquid. I'm not as comfortable trading them. I might have more slippage getting into the call. I understand that if you're trading a lot of, you know, huge contracts in short time frames. But if you're trying to catch a big move, that little bit of slippage is every bit worth it, as you can make far more money in these kind of moves. And this is just recently. Mm-hmm. I already showed you the example of the unleaded gasoline spread from 2020. That was a financial difference of 25 grand to the downside over a couple months. This is a difference of 22 grand in a matter of 6 days. So it's really powerful. And I enjoy understanding the differences between these spreads and how they present what is the strong horse or the weak horse, because that gives, you know, my clients a huge edge. Mm-hmm. And it's not really any extra risk coming out of the gate. And even if you're wrong and you get the spread wrong and you're on the wrong one, you're still making money.
Yeah.
But when you're on the right one, you're making far more money.
Yeah, absolutely. So Mike, how do you separate out, let's say, time frames? You know, you talk about short time frames and you said earlier that you have kind of short, medium, and long-term time frames. So how do you kind of separate out how you think about those?
Yes, that's a good question. So why don't we jump over to the gold for a second, because I know you'd wanted to talk about that, and I can kind of give you a demonstration a little bit. So like, this is the gold weekly chart, okay? You know, gold made a peak up in here in September of 2011. It was in a bearish market, and that ended in this base right here, where you can see the market's chopping sideways. And then right in here, we broke below a massive bearish formation. I had huge projections to the downside that the market's going to come off and totally crash. Well, it broke below that line and it didn't crash, and it came right back up through it. And as soon as that happened, I knew everybody was caught and I got long right there. And I said that this should see significant short covering that should last for weeks. Now, I didn't know that we were going to see this kind of a move. I just knew that it was going to be substantial and we had to see how it goes. Now, you can see just from down on this low here, like I said, I cautioned on 8/16/18, the break above 1179 warned a renewed strength. We've seen $905 an ounce of that. That's because I've maintained an overall bullish bias since 2018 in August, all the way up to here. And that has been put on hold and taken off hold multiple times on the way up to allow for hedging for a move to the downside that's going against it. Mm-hmm. Okay. So you can see it started rallying, and you can say we held exhaustion within this at 1275 with the 1274 low and rallied $8.14. That means that this rallied up, pulled back to an exhaustion level where I got bearish in here and then got bullish again off another platform to ride it higher. Now, this was all within a base. Okay. And at the time back then, you know, I didn't know how big that this move was going to be. Maybe this was just going to keep on chopping sideways, but I maintained my bullish bias. Okay. Then when it broke above this formation, that's when it actually turned into a macro bull trend. Okay. And that's right, spoken about right here. The break above 1347 projected this upward, $80 minimum, $320 plus maximum. Now, why would you have a $320 maximum that has a plus? Because some formations give you a minimum and a maximum, but if the market's trending, you can see far more than the maximum. Mm-hmm. In this case, we happen to attain 744.2 an ounce. And then on the way up, so this is this is speaking to your question about higher time frames and lower time frames. Mm-hmm. So then as it goes up, there's multiple different places where I put that bullishness on hold because we're bearish for a week or two. Mm-hmm. And then taking it off hold as we broke back above another formation. So it's sort of like if you're a hedge fund, right, and you're carrying a large position over time, you don't want to just have those drawdowns go against you. You want to hedge those, right? You want to get short, make money on the way back down, put your longs back on at a better level, ride them back up. And then so in this area right here, I said that this was a possible exhaustion area where the market could turn around and start a bearish correction. Mm-hmm. Now, we came off, but it didn't start the big correction. Nonetheless, it was still you know, a good financial amount to the downside, to 12 grand a lot, and then it rallied up here. And then this area right here is where I said that this was a macro exhaustion area. And you can go back and see the post I put on Kitco when it was trading here. I said that this area, which the market had never traded in ever, there's no resistance up there to even speak about, but there's certain technicals that I use to predict these. But I said that this is an area that had a high likelihood of causing a large bearish correction against this entire move up. And so if you look in here, so I put all of the bullish calls were on hold for a long time. These were just taken off hold a couple days ago. We'll speak to that in a second. Then I said we held major exhaustion at 2071 with the 2089 high and rolled over 467. That was holding this and rolling all the way over. So I put all this bullishness on hold and looked for a macro move to the downside. Now that downside is on hold. We had another move up here and then down. And then we broke above this massive formation right in here at 1687.70. And this was a very significant formation that I said should project this higher for days/weeks right in here. I said the break above 1687.7 now warrants of significant strength for weeks/months. And we've seen $51 of that so far. Mm-hmm. And only solid trade back below that would negate. So on a lower time frame basis, though, we had been chopping down in here. And when we broke above this line, I said to get and pull back to it right in here, I said that this is going to project this upward $30 plus. Now, at the time, it only tells you $30 is around what you're looking for, but we've gotten far more. So you can see here, I said the trade above this would look for $30 plus. And we've gotten 85.6. So they can turn into much bigger trades as they envelop. But once it got above this macro line here, that's what warrants that this thing is poised for much higher trade. And these are the lower time frame things that are talked about, like I write on here, on a lower time frame basis. But the higher time frame is what these are all within. So it's like those Russian dolls. You know, we have a Russian doll inside a Russian doll inside a mm-hmm. Russian doll. The higher time frames, medium time frames, lower time frames. And so even though this upper paragraph may seem like a lot of writing, like a lot of times, like this entire top part of the paragraph might be on hold for months. So it doesn't need to be read. It's mm-hmm. just a place marker for you to understand where we are in the overall big picture.
Right.
So just backing back out of that for a second, I'm going to go. This is a 60-minute chart, meaning each of these bars stands for 60 minutes worth of price action. Mm-hmm. If I go back up to the weekly time frame, now each of these bars stands for a week's price action. I'm expecting that this is not a projection. This is just a bearish formation that was violated. I think that this is going to rally for weeks/months. This could even precipitate a run back up towards the highs. Mm-hmm. So that's the stance. So this bullishness was put on hold all the way down into here. And now the bullishness that was on hold up here has now been taken off of hold here. So if you had gotten out of them up there and came all the way down here, you would have put them back on at a much different area while holding bearish calls down in the meantime.
Mm-hmm. So you were saying earlier that let's say that just over $20,000 or $2,000 level, sorry, you didn't have a way to chart it and see any kind of resistance because it had never traded up there before, right? So now does that area act as a new resistance line?
Yeah, I mean, this is going to be obvious natural resistance, but I mean, you can see just looking here, I mean, gold has never traded up that high in recent history or that I know of. So that, you know, that would be obviously natural resistance. But also if this rallies up here and takes that out, This is also another massive macro bullish formation. If it was to take that out on the upside, that could have significant implications to the upside. And likewise, if we were to break above that and fell back down through it, that would signal to me that the end of this whole structure would be in place and then be ripe for a more macro bearish correction. Mm-hmm.
Interesting.
And that's looking months and months out. Mm-hmm.
So I know you wanted to look at Bitcoin as well, because that kind of in some ways is a very different chart than this, right?
Yep. So the Bitcoin, this is just on a daily level here. I started analyzing the Bitcoin while it was in here. So we had some big runs up, big calls either way. And then, you know, we really took out a lot of this major support in here. And I've been bearish since up in here since the failure down below here with different hedges on the way down. Let me pull that up for a second. So this is an example, the rollover from 1110 put this into a bearish trend. I wanted to sell off should exceed 1300 from the high of 69,355. And we were, you know, 51,160 into that. And then there's other multiple levels that whatever. So like this is an example of higher time frame and lower time frame. So there's multiple different calls on the way down, but these are all on hold. So this is a paragraph you don't even need to read until this is taken off hold. This is just a place setting, letting you know that overall we're still bearish. And then you go on a lower time frame basis. There's also bearish formations all the way down. Those are all on hold. So those you don't have to read either, right? They're just placeholders, placeholders, placeholders. And then more recently, I say we may have completed this last structure, this last stretch of the structure down from 48,475. And the trade back above 18,360 to 195 warned of a termination of the structure and renewed strength. So we've seen 2,175 of that. So what does that mean? That means on a lower time frame, right here, when we came up through these lows, right here, when we came up through these lows, I said that this could start a new bullish correction. So we've been chopping back and forth in that, and we broke above a formation here, pulled all the way back down. Broke above a new formation here, pulled back to it, and we're just consolidating right here. If we take this formation out here, it's going to project us up even higher. And likewise, if we fail back down below these, you know, it'll probably take out these lows. Mm-hmm. But, you know, Bitcoin's going to have to do some real work before it gets, you know, opens up that upside again, because taking out all of this major stuff was pretty significant. But once it gets back up in there, that'll change the picture for Bitcoin, I think. Mm-hmm. But also, you know, going back to what you're talking about fundamentals and tacticals, you know, when you're in a bear trend that's on a higher time frame, the picture of that changing doesn't all present itself in just one picture, right? Mm-hmm. So the way a bearish trend can change direction is basically in four different ways. You can either hold an exhaustion level, you can make a small bullish reversal, you can break back above a bearish formation, or you can break above a bullish formation that's above. So one of those four things is usually what's going to change the direction, but a lot of times it just changes it in a small way first, and then a bigger way, and then an even bigger way.
Right.
So it doesn't
kind
all
of a progression.
Exactly.
You know, it'd be interesting. I know you and I were going to talk about the S&P as well, because it would be interesting to see how you see the S&P progressing. And then, you know, let's say over the next week or so, we can kind of overlay and think about the fundamentals of what has happened, you know, around the world or whatever the Fed comes out and says. It'll be interesting to look at it that way too.
Okay, so I mean, if you're looking at the S&Ps from a very wide perspective, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, this was the bear market here in 2008, 2007. That ended in a base, and we've been in this macro bull trend ever since. Now, that macro bull trend was violated. Just roughly drawing this here, if you don't mind. It was violated in here. and then brought it right back above, and that started this whole new run up. Now, this is on a weekly continuation chart, but this bullish stretch here was violated right in here, and this started a bearish correction slash trend to the downside. Okay, so I'm just trying to zooming out to help zoom you in where we are right now. So this trend, this section of this trend, I'm going to drop down to time frame now. So I'm going to go from a weekly chart to a daily chart. Okay, meaning each of these bars goes from standing for a week's volatility to a day's volatility. So if I go down to a daily chart, you know, however you want to cut, you know, your trend in here, you clearly violated this in here in early January. And that started this into a bearish correction or trend against this move here. So this, to me, looks more corrective in nature and not trending in nature. Okay. I have reasons for that. But looking at the S&P here, I said we're in a macro bearish correction or trend against the move up from 2174 and likely in the last stretch of the move down from 4808 and a quarter. All right. So on a macro time frame, I said that I think that this is the last stretch of this move down before this starts in a bullish correction. If this is a bullish correction that we're going to see right here, I'm going to go to a different time frame. So right now, I believe that this is probably the last stretch of this structure down. That's a macro structure before a bullish correction, okay, which we're already in, I believe. Now I'm going to drop down a time frame to a 60-minute time frame. Also on a lower time frame from 41.75, I believe that we were in the last stretch of that time, last stretch of that move. So when we broke back above in here, which was the 36.13 area, and then especially above this line, I said that that would likely precipitate a bullish correction. Now, the bullish correction has already exceeded the minimum that we're looking for the lower time frame, but it has not reached the minimum of the higher time frame. So if we're going to see a more macro bullish correction, it should take this back up to 43.01. Okay. Also, on top of that, we left a medium-term bullish reversal below right here 3 days ago. That also warns of higher trade for days slash weeks. Now, if this gets violated, then that's going to change the picture, and this thing is going to get hammered again. I also said if we saw a decent break below this low right here, then that would also bring in pressure. As it stands, though, just for a lower time frame perspective, the decent trade above 36.40, I said would warn of decent strength, and we've seen 180 of that so far before rolling over. Mm-hmm. So it
seems like this is a very, let's say, pivotal point in time for all of these markets for some fairly big reversals, right?
Yes. So this is do or die time right now in the S&Ps. It's got to hold this and not break below it decently or hold that gap higher. We might see some consolidation before running up. It's obviously not looking very strong at the immediate moment. Mm-hmm. But that can hold and still run up here. We could see a substantial move up. The energies, like I said, we've been bullish from down in here, but the unleaded gas left a significant bullish reversal below in here. That warns of higher trade for days / weeks. So I still think that's going to be trucking to the upside. And you can understand kind of how much, what does that mean, days / weeks? Well, you look at the average volatility on a day in there, which is 8 cents a gallon. Mm-hmm. So 8 cents a gallon per day, multiply that by days / weeks. That gives you kind of an idea of what we're going to see to the upside. The gold also, I said, I think is going to see substantial movement to the upside. The Bitcoin hasn't really tipped its hand yet. I mean, it's bullish short term right here, but volatility's been really crushed in there. So yeah, I think some big movements underway. So it should be great trading, a great trading environment for people. It's good liquidity, good volatility, good directional movement. You got to be careful about leaving yourself unprotected. Obviously, going home short the energies over the weekend without anything hedging yourself is probably not the smartest idea, given that your event risk in that kind of market is usually to the upside.
Right.
Now, I showed you an example where I had a large call to the downside on a Friday, and that would have been a hard short to hold. But you, if you're short futures, you could always hedge with options, right? You just don't want to go home naked short, because you never know what's going to happen over the weekend.
Right.
So I would just caution any trader to also, even though I don't really pay attention to the fundamentals a lot, because there's enough to pay attention to with the technicals, you do have to understand what big financial numbers are coming out. And going into a weekend, which is your time of your biggest unprotection, you know, what is your game plan going to be going into that weekend?
Right.
If you take your position off, you might have a big gap in the direction of where you wanted to go, then you can't get in it. Or you can take it off and always put it back on Sunday night, or you can keep it on and hedge it. Mm-hmm. But I would not recommend just keeping it on without a hedge unless you have it substantially in your favor already and you're willing to take a large risk.
Right. Kind of going back to the, as you were explaining the gold chart, Mike, I was just wondering if you ever look at the commitment of traders report and if that comes into your, let's say, peripherals at all when you're looking at these charts.
Embarrassingly, I don't, but it's a very valuable report that can give you a lot of insight. So I'm not going to sit here and tell you it's not valuable. I know it's hugely valuable.
Okay.
That's totally fair.
That's
somebody thinks to look at.
Yeah, absolutely. I just wondered if you found it a piece of data that you yourself take into consideration, but that's totally fine.
Yeah, that's that would be a very valuable thing to understand, and understanding options and where those positions are held are also valuable. So
awesome. Well, Mike, I appreciate you walking us through these charts and a little bit of your system and how you see things. Is there anything that you'd like to add before we wrap up here today?
There is one other leading indicator that you might want to know about. That is the DCD spread in the crude oil, which a lot of people don't think about. That's the spread of the whole curve of the crude.
Okay.
And that can often be an indicator of direction as well. The DCD's broke above here and it's been very bullish. And now this has just failed back down through here, which that is a warning, even though we're bullish crude in the RBOB and the heat, that this might roll over a bit before it continues higher. So, but this led this charge up here to the upside. So that's another thing that you can look at. And then just as far as the energies are concerned, there's other certain niche areas where you can really make some substantial amounts of money in other ways as far as spreads are concerned, which a lot of people, they don't really think about. You know, a spread meaning you're getting long 1 month and short the other month. But that's evident in like unleaded gas spreads, which I won't get into right now. But at certain times of the year, especially when hurricanes come into the Gulf and other news-based events, you can have spreads on with very low risk. It's a hedge in itself because you're long one thing and short the other. Mm-hmm. But when you have a news-based event that comes in, those things can move enormously. And if you're on those the right way, I mean, I've seen a spread move a year and a half's volatility in 6 days.
Wow.
Yeah.
Definitely want to be on the right side of that.
Exactly. But the thing is your event risk is not really to the downside. Mm-hmm. So it's not just a double-edged sword. You know, it's sort of sharpened very much to one side. Mm-hmm. So for the people that I would just say this to a lot of retail traders out there, if you're just willing to do a little bit more mental gymnastics and work to understand the interworkings of the energies, it can make an enormous difference on your profitability. Mm-hmm. It would be well worth the time investment. Absolutely. Or let me do it for you.
Right. Well, and that's the whole reason of trying to put out this content is to help show people different ways to do things. And if something does catch their eye or speak to them particularly, then they have the resources to be able to kind of dive deeper into that, right?
Exactly. You know, my aim is always to help people drive revenue, but really more importantly is to help people save time analyzing, because mm-hmm. if I'm spending 5.5 hours a day doing it, that's 5.5 hours you don't have to. And as a father of 3 children, my time is the most important commodity out there. So
absolutely. Of course, if anybody wants to, they can find your work at Moore Analytics, M-O-O-R, analytics.com. You're available on LinkedIn and you'll be updating your Twitter pretty soon, right?
Yes, sir. It should be updated. Well, it's already up there. It just got to connect it because I just switched over websites. So,
Absolutely. Awesome, Mike. Really appreciate your time today. Thank you.
Appreciate you. It's been an honor.
This podcast is for general informational purposes only. Nothing on this podcast should be taken as investment advice. Guests on this show are not compensated for their appearance. Listeners are urged to educate themselves and make their own decisions. Do not base any investment decisions on the information contained. To view our full disclaimer, please visit our website.